Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Welcome to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Lil Lavelle of Coyote Ugly Saloon Franchise, and the most famous bar on the planet is now the hottest franchise concept on the planet. We're going to talk to Lil about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews, so stick around because we have a great show.
Franchise Teacher.
Would you like to know how to franchise your concept or grow your franchise business?
Meet the experts at Franchise Teacher.
The goal of Franchise Teacher is to teach, coach, consult, and advise. The team of experts at Franchise Teacher will evaluate your business model and present you with a winning business strategy.
Franchise Teacher will help you decide whether or not your concept works and if it's franchisable. Franchise Teacher is proud to have over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors.
Franchise Teacher are developers of over a dozen franchise systems, which include brick and mortar as well as home-based concepts of nearly 3,000 combined franchise locations.
Whether you need to add more units or get more customers, Franchise Teacher can help. We will teach.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn our proven system.
Coach.
Franchise Teacher will help you provide a game plan to succeed.
Consult.
Franchise Teacher will make sure you stay on track.
And advise.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn from our over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors. Take advantage of our free, no-obligation phone consultation. Simply go to franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
That's franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Lil Lavelle of Coyote Ugly Saloon Franchise, and the most famous bar on the planet is now the hottest franchise concept on the planet. Hi, Lil. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm doing great, Lil. It's great to have you on the show. We always like to ask our guests, where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from San Antonio Airport right now.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, that's great. Well, maybe we'll hear some planes in the background then, right?
Well, unfortunately, I have a feeling it's going to be the screaming kids you'll probably hear.
That's okay. Well, you know, I know you've been all over the place. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, I read about your background, your biography, which is fascinating, by the way. And I knew you grew up in New York. Do you miss New York, or do you get back once in a while?
You know what? I get back enough that I get my fill, and it's just, you know, an evolution in my character that now I love San Diego. I'm a California
yeah.
girl now.
Well, they say it's great. I mean, they say that San Diego is one of the best places in the country to live, isn't it?
You know what I think? It's just like business. You know, start out with something, and that's all you know. And as you start venturing the world, you know,
yeah.
you kind of change and things happen. But, yeah, it's pretty nice.
Right.
Pretty nice
that's
place.
That's fantastic. That's great. Well, we're happy to have you on the show. You know, one of the reasons we started the show, Lil, is we found that every business has a story. And yours is one of the most interesting, I think, we've had on the show in 8 years we've been doing the show. Because, I mean, Hollywood actually made a movie based on your life. And I thought, you know, maybe we can, you know, go right to the beginning and you could describe the history
mm-hmm.
or the evolution of Coyote Ugly Saloon.
Well, basically, when I went to college, I bartended and waited tables, like most college kids do. Afterwards,
right.
I worked on Wall Street for a year, but I made $250 a week. That wasn't cutting it. So I made most of my money to pay my rent, bartending and managing bars. When I was about 24 years old, I had just made a decision. I'm either going back to, you know, 9 to 5, or I'm going
right.
to open my place. And so I saved all my money and opened the first Coyote.
That's fantastic. You know, when I was in my 20s, I think you and I come from like the same generation. I went to bartending school, Lil, and I learned how to make all the crazy drinks like yourself. And I would hate it when someone, particularly at the end of the night, would order a drink like with like 10 different ingredients in it. And it
oh,
seemed
God,
to be like that was like one
that.
That was one of the catalysts, wasn't it, for the concept, wasn't it?
Well, I was actually managing one place, this kind of rough and tumble country bar,
yeah.
but I was also
right.
bartending at this Brazilian steakhouse. And the Brazilian
yeah.
steakhouse, I would have to have like 4 blenders going at once with, you know, guava juice, margaritas,
yeah.
and, you know, all this stuff.
Right.
And I remember being like, oh, God, I hate
yeah.
this. Horrible. So, you know, one of the things that I had already going for me was a huge following. So when I opened Coyote,
yeah.
you know, I opened the doors and already had hundreds of people who knew me and came in. And so
right.
they kind of knew the deal. You know, you're not walking in and ordering, you know, a pickle pear margarita at
right.
Coyote. So,
right.
You know, it was fun. And
yeah.
I think about it now that back then when you have nothing to lose,
right.
you know, you risk it all. You know, I could get in people's faces.
Sure.
So it panned out, thank God.
That's fantastic. One of the several concepts I love about your franchise is the powerful brand name, Lil. And I think you're going to be at the franchise show in England next year. I remember reading somewhere. I mean,
mm-hmm.
how do you typically describe the Coyote Ugly Saloon franchise? If someone, like, when someone came up to your booth and they said, so, like, typical question, like, what do you guys do? Where do you typically go from there?
I think the whole idea is that there's a million concepts that have female bartenders.
Yeah.
But the beauty about, honestly, ours is that we do have a movie and a TV show
yeah.
that
yeah.
has provided a lot of, you know, enlightenment to people. So
right.
when they come up to me at a franchise show, they actually usually know who we are.
Right.
What makes us different is how we can control our branding,
right.
how we have to make sure that when we are franchising that they're upholding the brand name and the brand concept. So that's more, like, for me, it's not really starting from scratch anymore. People
right.
know who we are.
Right.
But it's
right.
making sure they understand that they can't change our concept.
Right, absolutely. And that's one of the things, you know, this is the theme that we've referenced over the show over the last 8 years, Lil. I mean, it's one of the things you're getting in franchising is the powerful brand name. It seems like there's so many possibilities for Coyote Ugly, you know, Saloon. I mean, are you guys going to get into things like, I mean, like coming out with your own line of, like, alcohol or T-shirts and things like that? Are you guys doing anything like that?
We actually have a Coyote Ugly Canadian whiskey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's already out there. The biggest problem it has been, we're only allowed to be sold, I think, in 4 states because you have
okay.
to go state to state to get the
right.
permissions.
Right.
But we're right now in talks with a vodka and a tequila company.
Wow.
So, you know, cross fingers, things look good.
Right, right. That's huge, isn't it? I mean, did you ever imagine, like, I mean, when you were 24 years old, Lil, and I know you're very optimistic and positive, but, I mean, did you envision this, you know, like maybe 20 years later?
Not with Coyote.
No.
In fact, I was actually in negotiations with this guy. This is years ago. I don't even remember his name. But I had the Coyote in New York, and I actually wanted to open fast food, health food stores.
Right.
And in my mind back then, that's what I thought was going to be my big, you know, winning concept.
Right.
But when
right.
the movie came along, you know, there was no, you know, that was it. I mean, you can't get a bigger push in business than that.
Sure, absolutely. How has technology played a role in the business today, Lil, compared to, I mean, from when you first started doing this? I guess it's a lot different today, isn't it, in terms of technology?
I think that what technology has done is, in operations, has changed the game. The marketing is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
How
yeah.
people learn where they're going, you know, where do you want to go eat? Where's the
right.
movie theater? Where's this? So technology has now played a big part in changing how we promote
yeah.
our local locations. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. It's constantly
right.
evolving. So things
Absolutely.
Are not quite as straightforward as it used to be.
That's fantastic. Maybe we could jump to, like, franchising, Will. I mean, what types of characteristics, then, I mean, will you be looking for in your franchisees? I mean, do they have to have a background or experience in this type of business?
I would prefer that. A lot of it is solidifying their finances, making sure
right.
that they have the infrastructure to have people who have operating experiences with, you know,
right.
nightclubs, bars, restaurants. So, you know, the one downfall with Coyote is that, you know, everybody and their mother wants to open one. So
mm-hmm.
we have to weed
right.
out the
yeah.
The people that don't have the experience.
What does it feel like? I mean, because Coyote now is in different countries now, too, aren't they, Lil? I mean, that must be an amazing
yeah.
experience for you to go to places like Russia, which I guess you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to
yeah.
some of these places must be amazing for you. What does that feel like for you?
I will tell you, when we first opened in Moscow, it was kind of emotional, honestly, because
yeah, yeah.
I couldn't believe my little bar in New York, you know, all of a sudden had all these locations. And,
yeah.
you know, there I am walking to work, you know, going by Red Square.
Right.
It was pretty, pretty incredible.
It was funny because I also went to Catholic school like you growing up, you know, and I remember
mm-hmm.
you saying, you know, I wonder what the nuns would think now. You know what I mean? It would be interesting going back.
Well, they certainly still call and ask for donations. So
I can imagine, right? That's funny. That's great. Oh, that's something. What's the training like, Lil, for, I mean, your new franchisees? I mean, how does that typically work? I mean, do they get the training, like, in a Coyote Ugly saloon? I mean,
yeah.
where does it take place? Okay.
What they have to do is they have to come and they have to train at some of my locations. And then what we do is we take a training staff to help them open their location.
Right.
So they get an awful lot of training before they even open the doors.
That's fantastic. Is there such a thing as a typical day as a franchisee, Lil?
Mm-hmm. What's a typical day?
Yeah.
The day of awesomeness, obviously. You open the door.
I can imagine, right.
The millions of people come in. You want to know what? There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. I mean,
right.
you have to keep up
yeah.
with your banking, you have to keep up with your hiring, you have to keep up with your paperwork, you have to, you know how to do your inventory. There's a lot that goes on, and then it changes as you open multiple locations because you have to learn how to manage people in a different way.
Right.
But from them to me, well, one, we have I have a team that's set up, and they can call, you know, specific people. If they need help in marketing, they call one person. If they're
right.
looking for new sites, they call a different person. If they're,
right.
you know, trying to get helpful hints for how to do a specific promo night, they call another person. So you have a team that is there to support them when they need it.
Right, which is so important, particularly in franchising. In studying your background, it seemed to me like, you know, at a young age, it was almost like you were destined to become an entrepreneur. And the majority of our listeners, Lil, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs because they seem to know that they want to go into franchising, but most of them don't even know where to begin. So from all of your experience in entrepreneurship, I mean, what advice would you give them in their quest to buy a franchise?
Well, I think the most important thing in the bar nightclub business, so this might not translate to other people, but
right,
to know that you cannot live the lifestyle. People in my business that don't succeed are the ones living the lifestyle. And when I say that, I mean, you know, they're out drinking all night because they, you know, they think they're the cool bar owner, things
I
like
see.
That. And I've seen many failures, not only of businesses, but of people. You know, they
right.
fail in life because they decide
right.
that this is their identity when the reality is this is business. And you have to have your money in place. You can't be undercapitalized.
Right.
You have to have a strong management team behind you. One of the biggest things I've learned, and I think it's helped me grow, is to really look for people that I think add to me. So,
right.
you know, maybe they're better at something. Well, you're
right.
always learning something. And when you think you know it all, you don't know anything. So I think it's very
That's
important
great.
To always kind of, you know, keep your eyes and ears open all the time.
That's great. I think that's great advice. It seemed like you knew it at such a young age, too. You know, it seems young to me now, 24, but, I mean, you realized that cash was king as well, you know? I mean, how you were, you know, able to save a lot of that money, you know, to invest into, you know, these different things. You know, I thought that was very clever on your part.
You know what I think? And, you know, I don't know how it would be now, but when you come from nothing,
yeah.
It's always a struggle. I remember always being worried, you know, always
right.
feeling like you have to have the nest egg, always making sure things happen. And I gave every dollar to open that first bar.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, literally, I would have had, you know, nothing, zero.
Sure.
But
yeah,
I just knew for my future that I needed to make a change, that I didn't want to work for somebody else the rest of my life.
Right. Right. That's fantastic. So I can ask you the next question. What are the plans for the future then? I mean, where do you see Coyote Ugly maybe in, like, you know, 3 to 5 years down the road, Lil?
Well, I think we'll be open. We hired a new his title. I'm sorry, people are screaming.
Oh, that's
but,
okay.
we hired a new VP of global franchising. So
okay.
what I'm hoping is we're going to open a lot more stores internationally.
Right.
And, you know, the dream is Coyote Ugly Hotel. That's the dream.
Wow.
Coyote
oh,
Ugly Casino. That'd be awesome.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I won't be surprised if you achieve that goal, you know, because I can see you're very driven. I was wondering, has anyone ever approached you on writing a book about your life? I mean, it seems like it's a great story as well.
We actually joke about it. A few people have come to me, but we joke
yeah.
about it because I say I'd lose all my liquor licenses if I actually
That's great. That's fantastic. What's the best way for our listeners, Lil, to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Is the website the best place to go to?
Yes, go to the website. That website gets you directed to my global franchising team, and they can get information from that site. So it's www.coyoteuglysaloon.com.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you again for coming on the show, Lil. It was a privilege for me to interview you. I've been actually following you for some time now, so for me to be able to speak to you today has been a real privilege. So I'd like to invite you back next year as you continue to grow, because I think you're going to be very, very successful.
Well, thank you so much.
It was my pleasure, Lil. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 8 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com. where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Franchise Teacher.
Would you like to know how to franchise your concept or grow your franchise business?
Meet the experts at Franchise Teacher.
The goal of Franchise Teacher is to teach, coach, consult, and advise. The team of experts at Franchise Teacher will evaluate your business model and present you with a winning business strategy.
Franchise Teacher will help you decide whether or not your concept works and if it's franchisable. Franchise Teacher is proud to have over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors.
Franchise Teacher are developers of over a dozen franchise systems, which include brick and mortar as well as home-based concepts of nearly 3,000 combined franchise locations.
Whether you need to add more units or get more customers, Franchise Teacher can help. We will teach.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn our proven system.
Coach.
Franchise Teacher will help you provide a game plan to succeed.
Consult.
Franchise Teacher will make sure you stay on track.
And advise.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn from our over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors. Take advantage of our free, no-obligation phone consultation. Simply go to franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
That's franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
Brand Talks, Go Brand Yourself, the only show on radio where branding gets practical and personal, heard exclusively on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. So you're out of work, but you got a little bit of a nest egg, or you've been furloughed, and you're thinking about a franchise. What do you do? What do you do? Well, we have today as my guest not only the best franchise expert in the nation, but a dear friend, a wonderful brand. It's with great pleasure that I introduce to you Professor Marty McDermott. Welcome to Brand Talk. And let me not forget this. He is the president of Franchise Interviews. Sorry about that, Marty. Welcome to Brand Talk.
Hi, Dr. Tantillo. How are you? Wow, that was a great introduction.
Well, it's all true. Just ask your wife and ask me, and there you have it.
Well, I tell you, I think my wife fell in love with you after hearing that last show.
Oh.
So I said, I think I better be a little worried.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do pasta over at the McDermott clan house in Pennsylvania one of these days.
I would love that.
And you know, despite this thing about the kid-free zone on airplanes, I love kids, so I don't know what your age of your kids are. You know, I'm not like W.C. Fields, a man who hates dogs and
go.
Kids can't be all bad. But
anyway,
so let me ask you, mm-hmm. what kind of a personality... Okay, well, now since we're on Brand Talk here on WVOX, what kind of a personality brand is best suited for a franchise?
Wow, it's a great question, John. It's, you know, one of the many reasons I love your show is that franchising is it's very much related to branding, isn't it? There's two things that you typically get when you buy a franchise, and one of them is a brand, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is certainly your area of expertise. And the second thing is a system. The challenge in buying a franchise, Dr. Tantillo, is that, you know, today there's over 2,500 brands to choose from in 80 different industries. So the first question is, like, you know, where do you even begin?
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, it's a little overwhelming. When I got into franchising, I think I got involved in franchising, it was like sometime around 1998, 1999. I think there was about maybe 1,400 different brands to choose from. And here we are today in 2013, and there's 2,500 brands to choose from. So
wow.
It makes it, I think it makes it complicated for the aspiring, I call them a franchipreneurs. It's
right.
It's like an entrepreneur
mm-hmm.
looking to buy a franchise. And, you know, some of these brands are very famous names, like McDonald's, who you've mentioned on
sure.
numerous occasions. We have Subway. I just found out, Dr. Tantillo, Subway's up to about 40,000 units now, if you can imagine that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
a great brand. I eat their sandwiches constantly.
They're fantastic.
They're very,
aren't
very,
they?
Very good.
I mean,
I love
they're really
it.
The experts on franchising, I think. And, you know, you have other famous brands. You have your Pizza Hut. You have your Dunkin' Donuts.
Sure.
And then there's some other brand names that are not as well known. You know,
sure.
I've had the opportunity to interview them because there's so many. Like, for example, you have Submarina, which is a sub-franchise. And you have Cafe a la Carte, which is a coffee franchise. And
sure.
You have Arizona Pizza. And so you compare Arizona Pizza.
I love that. That one. Well, how is that ever going to sell in New York, Arizona pizza?
Well, exactly, right. So, you know, it's interesting, you know,
yeah.
when you compare the brand names and you see some are, you know, very famous and some are not so famous. So just because the brand names aren't as popular, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't consider them.
Oh, I agree, because what you want, what as the brand goes, so does your investment go up.
Absolutely.
So that's really the secret. But you know what I want to get into, Marty, and please call me John. I mean, I appreciate that. I appreciate the title, but I'm going to call you Marty, and
Absolutely.
You're going to call me John. It's this idea that if I'm a corporate guy, and I found out with my corporate friends that, you know, had been furloughed and they tried to start their own business.
Yeah.
It's not good for them to be entrepreneurs. I think that the perfect, if I could step on your, you know, on your time
no,
on this,
do,
I think former corporate types would do very well as franchisees, better than the run-of-the-mill kind of person, although they're fine, because
yeah.
they know systems and they understand uh-huh. the systems. That when you take an executive out of that,
right.
well, out of Fortune 500 land, they don't know how to do it. Why don't you respond to that?
You're absolutely right. I love what you just said. You know, it's true. Entrepreneurs are typically drawn to franchising, and I think that could be a very bad thing because entrepreneurs, you know, and I've been studying them, John, for, you know, many years now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're typically very creative people. You know, I kind of
yes.
like compare them to, like, an artist. They like to reinvent the wheel,
yes.
you know?
Yeah.
And there's a great saying, I don't know if you've ever heard it before, but they say you can't paint the golden arches green. Of course, we're
I love
referring
it.
To...
Yeah, I'm going to steal that, Marty.
Steal it, because I love it, and I knew you'd love that when you
yeah.
heard it. You know, of course,
mm-hmm.
we're referring to, you know, for your listeners, we're referring to
McDonald's. Sure.
You know, but there's probably some nut out there, some nut entrepreneur that thinks that the golden arches will look better in green. And, you know, how much do you think that those golden arches are worth today? I don't know what the price value on those golden arches are, but it's
right.
It's pretty high up there. I agree with what you just said about, you know, people in the business community. I think if you can understand what a system is or a method
exactly.
of doing things, franchising can work very well for you.
Yes. Yeah, well, I have this surrogate son. His name is Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I'm not going to tell too many tales out of school here, but he has difficulty focusing.
Mm-hmm.
He was always an ADD person.
Yeah.
But I think that the rote of a franchise would be so much better for him.
Mm-hmm.
But although he has this entrepreneurial kind of gene there,
right.
For him, at least in the beginning, to learn how to do it, okay, but on the other hand, the problem is that nobody's going to tell me what I'm going to do it my own way,
right.
where the corporate guys and gals, they understand the drill.
I agree with you. You know, it's interesting. You know, when we were talking earlier about the different brands, John, you know, I mean, of course, you got your big brands and you got your smaller brands. I found that sometimes with the smaller brands, there's a little more, let's say, flexibility, you know,
yes.
where as opposed to, you know, with a McDonald's or a Subway, again, both very successful companies, there's not much flexibility with those
right.
franchise systems. I mean, there's no room for entrepreneurship or creativity.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah. And you have to go to university.
Exactly.
And you've got to be interviewed. And you don't have to be interviewed. Your family's got to be interviewed.
Exactly.
Nobody realizes this.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, this is no day at the beach. Oh, I'm going to open up a franchise, a McDonald's franchise. Oh, yeah? Good luck.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that situation that you've given, you know, with your surrogate son, I totally agree that there's probably some franchise systems out there that would be a great match for his personality type.
Right.
You know, you were talking about corporate guys. I got to interview one of the top franchisees for a franchise. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They're called Liberty Tax
mm-hmm.
franchise. And I
right.
think you have them in New York. I mean, H&R Block is, of course,
sure.
the most popular. But this gentleman, his name was Dan Castellini, and he said something very interesting because I said, you know, how did you become the most successful franchisee to Liberty Tax? And he said something interesting. He says, I'm not creative. I didn't want to invent anything. All I wanted to do was to follow the system. I just did what they told me to do, and I became the top franchisee.
I love it.
And that's franchising in a nutshell, isn't it?
That certainly is. It certainly is. Well, let me ask you, Marty, what is the hottest franchises, the brand names? And then I'm going to ask you, okay, answer that. What's the hottest franchises these days? And maybe not some brand names that we don't know, and maybe what category they're in.
It's interesting. You know, again, if, of course, you don't want to hear Subway. I mean, Subway is still actually in the top. I still think
sure.
that they're in the top 10. Dunkin' Donuts is in there.
My
McDonald's
favorite.
McDonald's is
yeah.
in there, of course. You know, so, of course, your big-name franchises. Entrepreneur has, like, a top 500 that
right.
usually come out
right.
every year, you know. Oh. And, you know, usually do see, you know, a lot of, like, the top names in there. But I don't think that those franchises are certainly for everyone.
Sure.
You know?
Because they're very, very, very strict and very doctrinaire on their procedures.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. You
yeah.
know, so, you know, I'm still a fan of, you know, some of like these small and growing franchises. I don't know if you know this, John, but Dave Thomas was one of the very first franchises to KFC. I think he was like the second.
Yes, I think I remember seeing that. And let me just get this in. You're listening to WVOX, Brand Talks, Go Brand Yourself. And we have my guest today, Marty McDermott, who is the president of Franchise Interviews. How can we get in touch with you, by the way?
Very easy. Go to www.franchiseinterviews.com.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, very easy, and I think we have about 350 different interviews.
I love it.
On
okay.
the website now, John. Yeah, so it's a very informative. It's similar to your show. You know, I like to think of it as being educational. When we started
absolutely.
The show, it's the teacher in us, right?
Yes.
We
yes.
like to teach at the same time.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So,
you know what they always said, with Tantillo, you laugh and learn. So,
and
you know,
so true,
that's what we like to try to do. But in the last few minutes here, what franchise category is hot?
Wow. You know, I was interviewed back in, I think it was 1999 or 2000, and I got asked the same question, and I was lucky enough to get it right. And I think it still applies today, is I still like the senior care industry.
Very interesting.
It
senior
is.
Care.
When I'm talking about senior care, I'm talking about like more like non-medical.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah, okay. So
yeah.
You know, my dad, who has Parkinson's disease, you know, we had to have someone come in a lot, you know,
sure.
and kind of like spend time with him and help him and things like that. But it's amazing that industry still seems to grow today because people, of course, are living longer.
And there are many of us, that's the baby boomers. They're,
exactly. You
so
know, they don't
that
want to
is
go to
one.
Nursing homes.
That's
you
right.
know?
That's right.
But what's interesting about your question, John, is that there's a lot of like different categories kind of like expanding on the non-medical senior care industry.
Sure.
Like, for example, there's one company I recently interviewed, they're called AmRamp. And what they do is they'll come to your home and they'll create a ramp. Like for
example, I love it.
Yeah, my dad was having trouble walking, you know. So I mean, for him to get down the stairs, even if it was two stairs, they'd create this ramp for you, and you just kind of slide down the wheelchair, and you're able to, you know, become more portable, you know, and get around from point A to point B. So I'm noticing that there's a lot of new, I guess you could say, subcategories basing themselves off of the non-medical senior care industry. So I still like that industry just because I think you get to do something good and, you know, still make a nice amount of money at the same time.
Right.
So I'm still a big fan of that industry. The children's category is still growing, you know, with the mommy and daddy, of course, working today and things
sure,
like that.
Sure, sure. So child
but there's, care. But there's 80 industries out there. And, you know, it's your question is the marketing professor in you is really very important. You know, is the industry is very critical, you know, and we talk about, you know, the SWOT analysis, don't we? You know,
right.
Looking towards, you know, the opportunities and the
threats. Yeah, could you explain what a SWOT analysis is?
Absolutely. I do this all day.
Right.
SWOT
right.
is strengths,
weaknesses,
opportunities, and threats. So,
right.
you know, what opportunities are present to an industry, and what are some threats that are out there?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and you know, you hit on the threats. You know, in branding, you always have to be branding. You always have to be reinventing. You always have to be rebranding yourself because of the changes in the marketplace. People change. And if you don't do that, guess what happens? You lose market share.
Well, the word I stole from you was brand over. I use that word all the time.
Well,
now,
I hope, yes. Oh, don't get me started
word,
about
way.
Brand over with
the
all
time.
These all these affected people on television. Oh, you need a makeover.
Right.
You don't need a makeover. If you do a makeover in 3 days, you're going to be doing the same stuff.
Exactly.
You can't be. It's a brand over. What is it? Who are you? And based on who you are, then go do it. Go brand yourself. None of
Absolutely.
This nonsense. You know, it's like them telling me I should wear a straight tie, you know, or I should wear, you know, I shouldn't wear striped shirts
exactly.
or polka dot ties. What the heck do you know about that? Not
exactly.
you, Marty, but you know what I'm talking about. These
I
people
do.
That give, you know, seldom right, never in doubt.
Well, it's very interesting. The story that made such an impression on me, you know, is of course, you know, your famous hat, you know.
Yes.
You know, and to never take that thing off, Ben, because that is part of your character. It's part of your brand. So I remember them even saying once you listening to one of your shows, saying on an interview, you know, would you take the hat off? And that is not your brand. I wouldn't even recognize you.
Well, right. Yeah. Well, they wanted to do it because, well, but for good reason. They wanted me to be a psychologist, and I'm not a psychologist. And so that was not part of my brand. So
no,
this way I can get away.
Not.
And the other thing about, and here we go, you're listening to WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. Monty McDermott, John Tantillo, we're doing Brand Talks, Go Brand Yourself, heard exclusively on WVOX. You know, I'm going to start talking about me, but it's not about me. The experiences that I have learned, don't you do what I've done, and don't
right.
make the mistakes that I made. You know, when they tell you you should wear a straight tie because you're going
right.
to turn people off, guess what? When I went to that party and all the models said to me, "Where's your bow tie?" I wanted to kill myself.
I love that. It's such a great example. You know, and it's interesting too, John. You know, because there's a lot of, you know, big name franchises. I was recently reading that, you know, KFC is doing a lot of rebranding right now. In fact, I can't remember what their new restaurant is called. I think they call it like what is it, KFC 11 or something like
yes.
that. You know, we know, you and I, you know, we probably know KFC. I still think of it as
Kentucky Fried,
Fried
Chicken.
Chicken.
Sure.
You know, and, but the young kids out there, of course, you know, don't
what
know
are you,
it.
What are you kidding?
Yeah, it's still KFC.
Hey, Dad, what are you kidding?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, when you buy into a franchise, you know, sometimes you have, you know, some very good marketing experts that, you know, they realize that it is time to do a brand over. We've seen a lot of brand overs with McDonald's over time, haven't we?
Sure, sure.
You know, and I know you've mentioned, you know, a bunch of them on the show. You know, I remember listening to one of your shows where they, you know, they came out with the nutritional content for their menu.
Yeah,
you know,
and
I
love it. It's terrific.
Yeah.
And that's where the industry is going. And if you don't like it, don't look at it.
Absolutely.
You know, but for guys like me who have heart conditions, you got to worry about stuff like that. And
that's
it will
so
stop
true.
You and prevent you from doing the wrong thing. I mean, when I looked at that pretzel burger from one of them, I the salt content alone could kill you.
I know, and so true.
I love pretzels and I love hamburgers, but
same
you just
here.
Can't do that. Listen, Marty, it's always great to have you on the show.
Thank
we
got to so
do
much,
this
John.
In
I'm
another few weeks.
I'm such a big fan of your show. I love your show, you know, and
well, we love you too,
we're
kiddo.
We're going to have you over the house for macaroni and
that's what, and I, well, you know what? And before you go, I'm going to say give a shout out to my aunt, Pat Spencer, who this past weekend made homemade matakati, or I say matagots, they melted in your mouth. They
were
unbelievable. So anyway,
that's
so
fantastic.
Pat, we'll be over soon. Maybe we'll come on Marty and the family. Yeah.
That's true, exactly.
Okay, Marty, thanks
Thank
again.
Thank you so much, John. You're great. Thank
okay,
you so much.
Thanks again.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. That was